The Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the Message to Israel. Haggai is known as the prophet of encouragement. He not only rebuked, but also commended. Haggai practiced what he preached. The prophecy of Haggai, one of the shortest, is known as the momentous little fragment. Haggai exhorts the faithful but discouraged remnant who returned to the land after 70 years of Babylonian exile to complete the temple building project by declaring, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." I'm happy to present at this time Mr. Overton.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings in the name of the Lord Yeshua. When the prophet Haggai spoke, the exile had come and gone. He is the first post-captivity prophet who ministered to the returned remnant from Babylonian captivity. The Medo-Persian Confederacy, led by Cyrus, overthrew the Empire of Babylon. The policy of the new Persian ruler was that of repatriation of foreign exiles to their homelands. This edict of Cyrus encouraged the return of the Jew to Judah and Jerusalem. The returned exiles were led by Zerubbabel, a descendant of King David. He was appointed governor. Associated with Zerubbabel in leadership was the high priest Joshua, a descendant of the famous Zadok, priest in the days of David and Solomon. The Jews became prosperous and influential in the Medo-Persian period. During this period, Mordecai, as one example, rose to high position and great political influence. The Jews prospered in those days much as they do today in the Western world. While there were strong and influential enemies such as Haman in the king's court and Sanballat of Samaria, the God who scattered them was with them still. It is true even today that he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. It was during the reign of Darius I that the Persian Empire knew real organization and consolidation. It was at this time Haggai the prophet spoke. In the second year of Darius the king, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the high priest. The name Haggai means festive. It has been suggested that Haggai was born on a Jewish feast day. His name is mentioned in the book of Ezra as a prophet who prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel. He was born possibly in Babylon and was undoubtedly among the exiles who returned to the land. Haggai addresses God's message to the two leaders, Zerubbabel and Joshua. Five times the two names appear together. The prophet Haggai, by directing the words to them, underscored their responsibility in the matter he was about to address. Haggai speaks very directly. The prophecy is punctuated throughout with the statement, "Thus says the Lord." The prophets Haggai and Zechariah labored together in the prophetic ministry. Their messages to the returned people bore great significance in the plan of God. Haggai is known as the prophet of encouragement. He rebuked and commended. He practiced what he preached. The response to the declarations of the prophet Haggai was quick and gratifying. The people gave themselves to the task of completing the temple. Haggai's message was a trumpet summons to the ways of practical holiness. Blessed results attended. Few audiences of the prophets have reacted so favorably in the history of Israel. The prophet Haggai issues at the very beginning a call for self-examination in the light of God's word and for obedience to the task God has appointed. Thus says the Lord of hosts. This people say, the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, while this house lies desolate? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. The call, Consider your ways, is a favorite with Haggai. He employs it four times in his brief prophecy. Some 15 years before, the returned exiles celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkoth, in the very ruins of the old temple. They had started to rebuild. Then opposition halted the construction, and apathy soon prevailed. How rapidly spiritual declension sets in. The first task of the returned remnant was to rebuild the house of the Lord, and with joy and affection they had laid the foundation. But the occasions of hindrance and difficulty suspended the work. Following this time, self-indulgence began to rule. What a sad condition for the people who had begun so earnestly. The people were guilty of procrastination. The time is not come, they excused themselves. The sin of neglect still abounds. Now as then, many are failing to do what they know should be done because they are waiting for a better or more convenient time. So the prophet Haggai now challenges their priorities. What place did God really occupy? What value did they place on him in relation to their own pursuits? They completed their homes, perhaps with some elegance, but the temple, God's sanctuary, lay wasted and neglected. Consider your ways, Haggai exhorts. Judge the nature of your deeds by the results. The prophet points out, You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. Their self-seeking had not profited them. There was only loss and inflation. This is not simply the prophet speaking. It is the God of Israel, and the Lord gives some strong advice. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified. Now the message is clear. There are plenty of available supplies if the people themselves are available. Begin to work in earnest. The construction of the temple would bring glory to him. The nations would observe that the God of Israel was worthy of a dwelling place for worship. It would signify the reestablishment of the nation. The reactions to the words and reasonings of the Lord through the prophet Haggai were overwhelming. Then Zerubbabel and Joshua, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet. The people showed reverence for the Lord. The prophet Haggai recognized that all of this was not really his doing. The Lord himself empowered the workers. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and the spirit of Joshua, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. Now the second message of Haggai speaks of the temple and the fulfillment of God's purpose. There is first a comparison of this restoration temple and the former glorious temple of Solomon. Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? Does it not seem to you like nothing in comparison? Well, never mind the lack of gold in this restoration temple. The people have done their best. God's glory would make the difference. My spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. Now the very heart of Haggai's prophecy comes forth. The temple they are building is connected with God's future and final purposes. The work is greater than the present. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, Once more, in a little while, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea also and the dry land, and I will shake all nations. I will fill this house with glory. The silver and the gold is mine. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, and in this place I shall give peace." An important principle concerning the writings of the Hebrew prophets is that of a multiple fulfillment. The temple glory, because of God's presence, reaches far beyond Haggai's days. It embraces the messianic times, and it involves all nations. All orders established by men will be shaken. All will gather around that temple in that day. The third message of Haggai assures the people of God's blessings because of their obedience. "From this day will I bless you." Blessing always comes from obeying God's word. The final message is a personal word to Zerubbabel. As an heir apparent to the throne, but only an appointed governor under foreign domination, his present work was but a preparation for the future. "I will take Zerubbabel, my servant, and I will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you," declares the Lord of hosts. How glorious is the future for those who trust and obey the living God. He came to his temple, and he will come again. Speaking of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, the scriptures declared, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Will you trust him and know his glory?
And now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Shalom.